Senator Steve Daines. Senator Daines is looking forward to taking your questions this evening and discussing efforts to move forward comprehensive forest management reform in the Senate. He's also looking forward to hearing your feedback and your ideas for what kind of reforms Congress should work toward. Before we begin, I would just like to urge everyone, if you'd like to get in line to ask a question or to share your feedback on this call, please press star 3 at any time. If you press star 3, you'll be placed in the queue to ask a question or to provide an opportunity for you to share your ideas and input with Senator Daines. So again, press star 3 to get in line. With that, we'll turn it over to Senator Daines for some opening thoughts.
Well, good evening, and thanks for joining me tonight to discuss your priorities and interests regarding forest management reform. I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts and concerns this evening. I'm calling from my desk here in D.C., so I'm a couple hours later than Montana. It's about 8:35 here, but 6:35 back home. Before we get into the discussion tonight on forest management reform, let me just briefly express my condolences to the country of Jordan and their people regarding the barbaric act of the murder of the Jordanian pilot. This is news that's been breaking across the country here this afternoon and this evening. I'm sure many of you have already heard about this, but that pilot that was shot down over Syria on Christmas Eve was brutally murdered today in the most heinous act of the ISIS terror group. Interestingly, I was actually in a meeting today with the King of Jordan just 2 hours after this news hit the wires. It was a meeting that was already planned. I'm talking about some strategies and so forth between the United States and Jordan. And so it was a very somber and sober meeting as we express our condolences to the King of Jordan, King Abdullah, and he has now changed his priorities, certainly with his visit to the United States. He's flying back to Amman, Jordan this evening as he deals with the situation back at home. So it's a tragic, barbaric act of murder, and we express our condolences to the people of Jordan. Let's get back to the topic this evening, and that is about forest management reform. And I believe we need to find sustainable solutions for Montana's forests that will reinvigorate our timber economy. And before we begin this conversation tonight, I want to take a few minutes to share some of my thoughts on the challenges facing Montana's forest communities and share how we're working to find solutions. And then we're going to open up the phone lines to take your questions and to hear your thoughts. If you want to get in line to get in the queue, simply press star 3. Again, press star 3 on your phone, and that will put you in the queue. And we want to take as many questions as possible this evening. So just press star 3 if you would to get in line. We literally have thousands of Montanans tonight on the phone. This is a statewide teletown hall meeting, and we won't be able to get to all of tonight's callers, unfortunately. We're going to do our very best to answer as many questions as we can in the time that's allotted. I also know there's a lot of Montana veterans on the line tonight, or there are folks who have family members who have served in our military or are serving today. And before we kick off this call, I think it's only appropriate to find out how many veterans or military families we have listening in tonight. So if you are a veteran or you have a family member in the military, if you would just press 1 now, you don't have to press star, just press the number 1, and we'll find out tonight how many veterans or households that have a family member in the military are on the line with us this evening. Let me give you a couple seconds to do that, and then I'm going to share some opening thoughts on forest management reform. All right. Well, thanks for participating in that brief survey for the families out there that have veterans in the households. Let me just talk a little about the challenge we face as we look at our national forests. I spent a lot of time traveling around Montana in my pickup and have had many, many face-to-face conversations in some of our rural communities, and I'm hearing we need solutions to this problem facing our national forests. I remember growing up in the Gallatin Valley. I was a Bozeman kid. I went to kindergarten through middle school, junior high, high school, and college. I'm a Montana State graduate. But I remember growing up back in the 60s and 70s and 80s when it was routinely we would see logging trucks going up and down our highways. But we look at what's gone on in our timber industry since those days. The timber receipts are down an astounding 82% from the late 80s. In fact, at Montana's peak in timber harvest, which was 1987, that was a few years after I graduated from Montana State University, we were producing 624 million board feet per year. In 2014, we were down to a mere 113 million board feet, from 624 million board feet to 113 million board feet. In fact, in just the last several months, we've seen hardworking Montana families laid off due to lawsuits and lack of logs. In fact, in September, Stoltz Lumber up in Columbia Falls announced that the production hours at the sawmill would be reduced from 80 hours per week to 60 hours for an indefinite period of time. They then laid off 10 employees, and this was due to not having enough logs. Our mills across the state, on average, are operating at about two-thirds capacity. While the demand for timber, as we're seeing the housing market start to rebound, is continuously increasing. In fact, I was in Missoula a few months ago, surrounded at a table of folks from the timber industry, and when they told me about operating at two-thirds capacity, I said, well, why can't we get it 100% capacity? And they said, it's one four-letter word, logs. We can't get enough logs. And here we are staring at literally millions of acres of Montana timber that's dying because of beetle kill that we could salvage if they are cut soon enough and turn it into timber, recoverable timber and lumber. And yet we're not able to do it. We'll talk a lot about what the reasons are that are creating that problem. Our forest counties around the state, I remember being up in Eureka a while back, and I was meeting with a couple that are up in Lincoln County, which is, I remember as a kid growing up, we used to play, as a lot of Montana kids did, kind of, I guess, the license plate bingo in the car in terms of finding what county and what number is associated with a license plate. And if you had number 56, well, that was Lincoln County up in the far northwest corner of our state. And a couple from Eureka told me that basically they described the area there as poverty with a view, with the double-digit unemployment rates up there in Lincoln County, as we've seen timber as well as mining up there severely hurt. Unfortunately, though, our forest counties, they don't have a stable source of revenue, and they're forced to rely upon unreliable federal funding sources that eventually end up hurting jobs and economic growth. Reminder again to those on the call, hit *3 if you want to ask a question. Hit *3, and it'll get you in the queue so you can ask a question here in a few minutes. Relating to beetle kill, the forest health, as we look around our state, look no further than McDonald Pass there, just outside of Helena. We see how they've been devastated by pine beetle infestation, which leads to catastrophic wildfires that decimate our lands. They impact our watersheds. They reduce our access to our public lands to enjoy them on the weekends. And so there's another real problem we have right now with forest health. So as a solution, I want to work with Montanans and find a path forward that will create economic opportunity for these rural forested counties and implement real forest management reforms that increase the health of the forest, support access for our sportsmen or multiple use, and will help grow the jobs in the timber industry and provide our rural counties with consistent revenue sources. We're working right now in the Senate to develop policy proposals that will address the challenges facing all of our national forests. Montana has 10 national forests, and we want to make sure we have policies that address all 10 of them. I'm a member of the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, and as such, I'll be directly involved in the efforts in the U.S. Senate to draft and move forward legislation, and I will maintain a vested interest in what Montanans are saying in order to best represent you. Most importantly, I want to hear directly from Montanans on an issue that is of great importance to many, many Montanans' livelihoods. In fact, in December, the middle of the month, I sent a letter to dozens of Montana stakeholders, from county commissioners to conservation groups to sportsmen to sawmill owners, to gather their suggestions on what comprehensive management of our forests looks like. I've been meeting face-to-face with some of these groups, and I plan to continue these meetings in the coming weeks. So this is a problem that directly affects thousands of Montanans, and it's important I hear from as many folks as possible, and that's one of the reasons we're holding this call tonight. So I'm also here to answer questions, but primarily tonight, I'm going to stop talking, and I'm here to listen and gather your feedback. Again, hit star 3 if you want to ask a question, and the comments and suggestions that I hear will be of critical importance as we work to ensure our interests as Montanans are represented in the United States Senate legislation. So I'm eager to hear your feedback. Let's see who's got the first call tonight and has some thoughts and feedback here on timber management reform. So, Alta, Kalispell?
Yes.
Alta, hi, this is Steve. You're on the phone.
Okay. You've already answered a lot of my questions because I was wondering where you stood on using our forests. I used to work for the Forest Service. I used to fight fires, and I used to do stand exams. I used to be a private contractor, and that was my livelihood. And I think it's a very sad situation that we are living in now, that we're just letting trees die in the woods, and we're cutting off roads that people can get in to the forest and utilize it. And so what you just said made me very, very happy.
Hey, Alta, with somebody with years and years of experience and of having worked in the Forest Service, what do you see as one or two things that you would recommend, maybe if you think about some specifics, if you were crafting legislation or were trying to fix some of these problems, what comes to mind?
Well, like I said, I would open more roads, because if you close the roads off, people are not utilizing the forest.
Yep.
And I also would get the dead timber out of there, because it's just a fire waiting to happen.
You know, I remember a couple years ago, and we had a fairly quiet fire season this last year, thankfully. We had some of those big August rains, and it tended to temper things a bit. But I remember a couple years ago, in fact, our son was playing high school ball in the fall, and I remember Friday night lights in Montana being canceled in western Montana, some games, because the air quality was so poor because of wildfires. And it just makes you scratch your head. Why are we watching these beetle-killed hillsides burn and breathing that smoke, and we could be harvesting them, creating jobs, creating tax revenues to help pay for teachers and infrastructure and so forth. So, Alta, thank you for those comments, and we'll take another call. Just before we do that, I've got another question here for those on the phone. And so it's a simple press 1 or press 2 response. And here's the question, and I'll tell you what the response options are. The question is, do you believe our current forest management practices are sufficient? Do you believe our current forest management practices are sufficient? Press 1 if you agree that our current forest management practices are sufficient, or press 2 if you disagree that our forest management practices are sufficient. Simply press 1 if you agree, 2 if you disagree. I'll give a couple seconds there to take that quick poll. All right, we'll take another question. All right. Is David on the phone?
Yes, if it's David from Manhattan.
Hey, David. You're on the line.
Oh, great. Well, thanks, Senator Daines. I appreciate the opportunity to join you this evening.
You bet. Thanks for being on the call tonight.
Well, I don't have the firsthand experience of your first caller, but I did see that you voted against the land and water funding, and I was surprised by that because Montana's been a huge benefactor of land and water conservation funding, especially during Senator Burns's tenure. And I just wanted to get your sense and hear from you what role you see played there for Montana, for both the Land and Water Conservation Fund and the federally funded Forest Legacy Program, which is a program that gives grants to states to help protect and keep forest lands and forest production. I was involved in some efforts with Plum Creek and some other private timber operators to protect their lands from being sold off as subdivisions, and I just thought that both of them were great programs if appropriately administered, and I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
You bet. David, first of all, thank you for asking the question, and this gives me a chance to hopefully respond to sometimes emails and tweets and so forth that go out don't always accurately reflect perhaps a certain vote that that I'm taking back here. And let me explain about what's called the LWCF, which you know about, David, but for those on the phone who may not, it's the Land, Water, and Conservation Fund. First of all, the vote that I took was not in opposition to the Land and Water Conservation Fund. The vote I took said it says I support it. What it says is we need to reform it and continue to make it better. And I thought it was important to put an amendment vote on the floor so we could get Republicans on the record of supporting the Land, Water, and Conservation Fund. And so what my amendment says, it says the program plays an important role in improving wildlife habitat and recreation, and that reauthorizing the Land and Water Conservation Fund should be a priority of Congress. The intent of my amendment was to get a strong bipartisan support for LWCF, and yet at the same time upholding the integrity and purpose of the program so we ensure that long-term it will continue to exist. And I think, frankly, I know there were some tweets and some emails sent out that I believe misrepresented my position on that, and that's why I'm always grateful, David, when I do have a call to question a vote, and I can at least explain where I'm at on that particular issue. I do believe that reauthorizing it is best done through a transparent legislative process. That's called regular order. We're trying to restore in the Senate here that we have hearings, we receive input. But I can tell you I've been a strong supporter of LWCF in the past. I'll continue to be one in the future. I just believe that we need to have better transparency and reforms of LWCF to make it a program that will be sustainable for the long term. So I hope that's helpful, at least in clarifying my position there, because I knew there were some folks that there were some things sent out that I don't think probably were accurate in my position at LWCF. And as you all know, the proof will be in the pudding. I mean, I have a very clear voting record in the House of supporting LWCF, and you will see that in the Senate once we get around to the specifics here of the appropriations and budgeting process. So real quick feedback on that question we asked about, do you believe our current forest management practices are sufficient? 87% of you on the phone tonight said it's not sufficient, which is, if I'm doing my quick math here, that'd say about 13% say it is sufficient. All right, again, hit *3 if you want to get in the queue and provide feedback or ask a question, but I really want to get your feedback here tonight. Okay, is Lloyd on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Lloyd, good to have you on the line. Where are you calling from?
Well, I'm calling from Lakeside.
Great. Thanks for joining the call tonight, Lloyd. What are your thoughts?
I'm retired. I earned my whole living my life in the timber industry, and I agree with your callers ahead of me about this. There's so many things tied in with this closing the roads. For one thing, what it does, it concentrates all the recreation in just a few areas. I mean, there's a lot of forest land that should be used. And then I know that it's really tough on these timber communities to lose this payment in lieu of timber sales.
Yeah.
That 25% was a real boost to our road department and our schools. And anyway, I guess that's my input. I didn't really have a question. It's sad to see that timber going to waste. If we didn't do anything but harvest the dead, down, and diseased, we could add at least two more mills here in the Flathead Valley.
You know, Lloyd, when I was growing up, I referred that a little earlier in the call. We used to have 30 active sawmills in Montana. Today we have just 11, as the timber industry has really been decimated by the litigation, regulations and so forth that have killed the jobs and are hurting our rural counties, forested counties, that hurt our schools, and the livelihood that used to be there is now gone in many cases. So I appreciate that that feedback, Lloyd, and I hear that everywhere I go across our, particularly western Montana, of the loss of this once vibrant timber industry. And I think we all know that a managed forest is a healthier forest. I have a couple reminders of that back here in my office in Washington. One is a picture of some forested area near Townsend, and you can see a fence going through the it's a kind of a heavily timbered area along a section line, and to the left of the fence you have this dying, sick gray and brown timber, and on the right-hand side of the fence you see this vibrant green forest. It's just very stark contrast. It was an elk hunter that took this picture, and sure enough, on the left-hand side, it's federal land that's not being managed properly. It's an unmanaged forest. On the right-hand side, state land that was being managed, and I have that picture here in my office as kind of a quick, almost show-and-tell item. The other thing I have back here is some cross-sections of trees where you can see the rings on them, and they're probably about 2 inches in diameter. One is 2 inches in diameter. It's a 9-year-old tree. Another tree is 2 inches in diameter, and it's 56 years old. And you just see the contrast between a managed forest, how big a tree can get in 9 years with a managed forest versus an unmanaged forest that's 56 years to get the same diameter. So I think anybody who has seen a managed forest would believe that it's probably a healthier forest, and part of the reason we're on this call and the solution we're looking for. I've got another question tonight. We're going to poll those of you on the call. Here's the question. And again, it's going to be a simple press one or press two if you agree or disagree. So here's the question. Do you believe that timber harvests on national forest land should be responsibly increased to help create jobs and better manage our national forests? Do you believe that timber harvests on national forest land should be responsibly increased to help create jobs and better manage our forests? Press 1 if you think timber harvests on national forests should be increased. Press 2 if you do not think our timber harvests on national forests should be increased. Again, press 1 if you think we should increase harvest. Press 2 if you don't think we need to increase our harvest on our national forests. I'll just give you a couple seconds to hit either 1 or 2 there, and then we'll take another caller. All right. Patty?
Thank you very much. I'm calling from Gallatin Gateway. And
great.
I'm wondering how you think you will work with Senator Tester on the Forest Jobs and Recreation Act. And this act contains strategies for timber management in several of our Montana forests, and it was developed in a collaborative way to improve forest management and increase the recreational opportunities. So I'm wondering what strategies you might employ in working with Senator Tester on this bill.
Yeah, Patty, thanks for calling, and thanks for calling from Gallatin Gateway. That's you're calling from my home county, my home neck of the woods, if you will. Well, clearly, Senator Tester and myself will be working together as we look at forest management reforms going forward. In the United States Senate, it takes Republicans and Democrats working together. Unlike the House, where it is simply a majority vote can pass the bill, in the Senate it requires 60 votes, and which means we're going to have Republicans and Democrats voting for any timber reform bill that we put forward here if we want to get something actually done. I think one of the challenges that we have and that we need to address is the need to ensure that our reforms address all 10 of our national forests in Montana. Senator Tester's collaborative effort dealt with really 3 of our national forests, but we have 10 national forests in Montana. And I know there were some challenges even before the change in leadership in the Senate here with Harry Reid losing the majority leadership and now being replaced by Mitch McConnell. That bill never saw the light of day on the Senate floor. And so I think it's going to be difficult to get that bill through a Republican-controlled Senate, but that doesn't mean we're not going to continue to work on forest reform. I think we need reforms, number one, that address all 10 of our national forests, and number two, have reforms that will be permanent. I know some of the timber reforms they're looking at on the Forest Job and Recreation Act, they sunsetted after a number of years, and I think we want to look for something here that will have some permanence, and I think that'll give us more jobs and greater certainty here for our timber industry, and some, again, that's widespread across all 10 national forests in Montana versus limited to three. So clearly, the Montana delegation has to work together on this, but I think we'll be looking for some more comprehensive reforms on this next package. Glenda, you there?
Yes.
Glenda, you're on the line.
Thank you so much. I do appreciate you reaching out to your constituents. I'm calling from Kalispell.
Great.
And I have kind of a two-part question. The first being, and you've mentioned it yourself, that so much of our forest harvests are being controlled by environmentalists who doesn't cost them anything but some time to write a letter to file a lawsuit that stops the sale in its tracks. And I wondered if there was anything being done to address, perhaps making them more accountable, perhaps by requiring a bond that, equivalent to the size of the sale that they are trying to stop for them to be sure that they have true grounds for stopping a sale. And the other is, I'd like to know your views on the transfer of Montana state lands to Montana State. Right now they're held by the federal government, and like most of the western states, that land transfer that was originally stated back when we were a territory has never taken place. Are you going to be working for the transfer of the federal land to Montana State so that we can manage our forests reasonably well by providing jobs for our people? Thanks so much.
Great, Glenda. Thank you for the thoughtful comments. And let's talk about the litigation issue. I think you've hit one of the nails squarely on the head. I was on the Natural Resources Committee in the House over the last 2 years before I came over to the other side of the Hill here in the U.S. Senate. And we had a few hearings related to forest management and what were the barriers to timber harvest. And I think if you sum it all up, it probably comes down to one word, and at the risk of oversimplifying it, but I think it probably illustrates where the real problem is. It is litigation, where in Montana we see this. We have these collaborative efforts in Montana where we have timber industry folks, we have representatives from the multiple use industry and interests. We will have conservation groups in the room. They will come together with a plan for better managing our forests, and then only to be stopped because of a fringe environmental group that will file lawsuits that stops the timber harvest. One of the products of the farm bill that came out of Congress last year was actually a timber provision that would allow our governors to prioritize timber harvest in some of the for example, diseased and beetle-infested areas. Montana has over 5 million acres. I wrote a letter in support of Governor Bullock's efforts to that regard, and it didn't take long. As we're moving forward here in Montana, suddenly a lawsuit is filed to stop timber harvest in a beetle-infested timber area, which to me is outrageous. So we need to reform the processes, what you suggested, I've noted that about the bonding provision. That's something that I think needs to be part of comprehensive timber reform. I think we need to reform what is called the Equal Access to Justice Act. What that does is that actually pays for the plaintiff's legal fees. So when you have some of these groups suing the federal government, we, the taxpayers, are having to pay their legal fees, which I think if more Montanans knew that was going on, there'd be further outrage. And that is why we need to reform the Equal Access to Justice Act, make it more transparent so Montanans know exactly what's going on there,
And I think the issue of bonding or requiring more skin in the game for the those who want to sue the Forest Service and the federal government is going to be part of those reforms. As it relates to the control and management of our federal lands, I am completely on board that we need to increase the state's input, and we need to have much stronger control and leadership in managing our federal lands. I believe very much in the federalism philosophy, which is the powers going back to the states. I think our federal government has gotten far too powerful. We need to return much of these powers back to the states. And so that's why I am a big proponent. And, for example, even that Farm Bill provision transferred some of that responsibility back to our governors in our states to allow them to take the lead on managing timber harvest in some of these federal lands instead of a bunch of bureaucrats back in Washington. So I am completely support more control of Montanans on our federal lands. I think there's some question about the financial feasibility about an actual transfer of the deed, if you will, to the state of Montana. But we've got a lot of room we need to work on here to move forward here of moving the control from what is really right now a D.C. federally centric kind of management program on our federal lands in Montana to more of a state-led and more state control and state management of our federal lands. I believe that government that is closer to the people and government controlled closest by the people that it affects will yield better outcomes. So quick update on that last question on do you believe that timber harvest on national forest land should be responsibly increased to help create jobs? 91%, so we've got a super, super majority of folks here on the call tonight believe that we need increased harvest on our federal lands. Got one more poll question tonight, and then we'll get back to taking more input. So here's the last poll question. And there are six responses to this poll question. And what I'd like you to do is you don't have to just choose one. You can choose all six if you agree with all six, or just choose the ones that you do agree with by pressing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or 6. So let me give you the question. Which of the following reforms or proposals do you think should be included in comprehensive forest management reform legislation? So I'm just going to read through these once. Basically, just hit the number on your phone if you agree with it. If you don't agree with it, just don't touch the number. So press 1 if you think reforming litigation requirements in the Equal Access to Justice Act, the Equal Access to Justice Act, should be part of the reforms. That's press 1. Press 2 if you think requiring the Forest Service to increase harvest on national forest land through timber sales and better federal management. Press 3 if you think providing a dependable source of revenue for Montana forest communities and counties through increased timber harvest. Press 4 if you think increasing hazardous fuel reduction to help limit the risk of catastrophic fire. Press 5 if you think we should be increasing wilderness areas or other federally protected land. Press 6 if you think we should provide Montana tribes with a greater ability to manage their own forest land. So this is one you could have pressed all six. You could have pressed 5 of the 6, 3 of the 6, or none of them. But just want to get your input on those 6 different items. All right, Patrick, you're on the line.
Thanks, Senator Daines. Pat Tabor here from Swan Lake, Montana. Thanks so much for including all of us on this. It's wonderful to be part of the process. I'm an outfitter, as you know, and one of the frustrations, of course, that I have in trying to expand services to providing recreation opportunities for citizens, both resident and non-resident to Montana, is the inability of the existing management system for recreation to contemplate any additional service opportunities and allow service providers a means by which to expand their existing business or create new responsive services based on the trends of tourism and what have you. It appears that the two major obstacles NEPA and the Endangered Species Act. And I think those are really important pieces of legislation, but as has been commented before, you know, in the process of litigation and the fear of litigation that a lot of the forests and regions have, it seems like they're going into an extreme overprotective mode to the point where they're immobilized and they no longer feel comfortable making any decisions, or they blame the budget process and the inability to have any resources to properly contemplate the, you know, the provision of additional services. So essentially, all the forests, it appears, are stymied. I think you would be shocked if you looked at all 10 forests in Montana, how very little new recreation opportunities have been provided to servicing the public over the last decade. And it doesn't appear that trend is going to change anytime soon unless there's some real material reform that's put into place. And so I'd love to hear your ideas with regards to some of the mechanisms we can put into play that facilitate better recreation management, better opportunities for people to enjoy their forests, either by themselves or through the services of a professional provider.
Pat, good to hear from you tonight, and you're from another beautiful part of our state there in the Swan. You know, you referenced the Endangered Species Act. It's best described the other day. I heard somebody say the Endangered Species Act is like an old ranch pickup. It's 40 years old. It once served a useful purpose, but it's in bad need of repair. And I think, like is so often true of some of the federal programs and the regulations, perhaps the intent was good at the very beginning. But for various reasons, these things tend to evolve and morph into onerous and perhaps produce unintended consequences. And one could argue the Endangered Species Act is in need of great reform. We've certainly got battles in Montana relates to the sage grouse and letting Montana take the lead in developing a plan to protect the sage grouse instead of having the federal government come in and tell us what to do and regulate our lives. And I think this goes back to the earlier comment about the control of our federal lands, to move that control back to the states, allow our governor, our legislators, our land board in Montana to have primacy in managing these lands instead of these large federal bureaucracies that are oftentimes out of step and out of touch with the people that live closer to the lands. And I think the Endangered Species Act is an example of that. Take the wolf, for example. It literally took an act of Congress to take the wolf off the endangered species list and return the control of the wolves back to the people of Montana. And we know how to manage predators. We do a better job, in my opinion, of managing wildlife than the federal government does. And so I think this is a real core issue. And the ESA, the Endangered Species Act, needs reform. Unfortunately, I think there are some who seek only to list the species, but I'm not sure they really want to ever see it recovered. If a species gets listed, what happens then, of course, everything gets litigated, and this ties up any kind of progress moving forward here on our land. So, Pat, very thoughtful question, and I am have been a big supporter here of reforming the Endangered Species Act to do what it's supposed to. That is to save a species, not just to list it for the sake of lawsuits and stopping control and development of our lands. Next, we've got Stuart. You on the line there, Stuart?
Yes, I am.
Stuart, you're on the line.
Yeah, I want to thank you for all you've done. I voted for you.
Well, thanks.
You bet. I'm a log home builder, and I'm a small business, and I directly am connected with, log brokers around the country, and I was raised in the Swan Valley. Mm-hmm. And it seems that accessibility to house logs, you know, it's difficult for small, you know, some of these loggers, for them to get the sales. Majority of the house logs that I get are on private sale. And it's accessibility, and it affects, you know, all of us.
Mm-hmm. Stuart, where do you live now?
Cascade, Montana. That's what
Cascade, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, my log homes aren't Montana log homes. I ship to Alabama, Washington State, Wyoming. You know, we ship around the country, too, but it's accessibility to suitable house logs. They're the first 4 to 6%, you know, the top logs of a sale. And availability is difficult. I used to, 12 years ago, I would go to 600-mile house, British Columbia. I would go 600 miles north, you know, the British Columbia border, and I could get house logs delivered from there cheaper than I could get them locally.
Yeah.
Because of the way that the land's been tied up.
Well, it's absurd, isn't it, Stuart? I grew up in the building business myself. My mom and dad started a home building business there in the Gallatin Valley back in the early 1970s, well before we got discovered as being a kind of a destination place there for a lot of folks. But that's the business I grew up in. I spent my summers working construction and packing 2x4s and sheetrock and shoveling gravel and so forth. Put my way through school there at Montana State, so I can empathize with a small business that is in the construction industry and what you're doing there and building log homes. I was just struck a while back. I was at a timber mill, actually one in Livingston, the RY mill, and they told me they were having to bring logs in from over 400 miles away to their mill in Livingston and leaving, going south. So they're having to go down south into Wyoming and I thought, now what in the world is wrong with this picture? Here we are having a meeting. We're staring down at Paradise Valley there, where the Yellowstone River comes out of Yellowstone Park, out of tens of thousands of acres of federal forest lands. And in fact, even where there'd been a couple pretty good sized fires there down in Paradise Valley, Mill Creek, and we have to bring logs in from hundreds of miles away, like what you were suggesting. I've heard stories about bringing logs in from Canada, just as you said, and it's just outrageous. And so, from an environmental viewpoint, it's much more environmentally friendly to harvest logs in our backyards and have to haul them on trucks 400 or 500 miles to get them to our sawmills, just for starters. Not to mention what it does here to make our forests healthier. So, I appreciate your comments, Stuart, and that's why we're in the battle back here, is to help the small business in Montana here and to create these jobs that we need here to sustain our communities. Let's see, I've got Greg.
Hello.
Hey, Greg, you're on the line.
Hello, Steve Dane. I've been wanting to meet you for years. I see your father in the grocery store sometimes.
Oh, do you? Greg, well, good to hear from you.
Yeah. I'm a mountain biker, and I'm concerned about recreational access. And there has been a policy that the Forest Service has had in Region 1 for 10 or 12 years, and it's based on an interoffice memo, and it mandates that they manage recommended wilderness as de facto wilderness and exclude uses that were ongoing, say in the 1990s and early 2000s, such as mountain bikes or on occasion motorcycles or ATVs into certain areas. And my concern is that the Forest Service has done some damage to the economies of small towns, most notably the Beaverhead Deer Lodge. It's affected the town of Lima quite a bit. They've got dropping school enrollment, a very limited economy, and mountain bikers brought something to the table to that economy, and we were working with them to build that up, and then the forest closed that area. I was wondering if you knew of this policy that Region 1 has been enforcing through the course of 4 or 5 regional directors.
Greg, you're not the first person. By the way, thank you for being patient and getting in the queue here and waiting to ask a question or make a comment. Much appreciated. We are aware of that and have heard feedback from others like yourself, concerns about these restrictions and regulations in Region 1. And I think herein lies one of the the debates we have in Montana of there are those who want to prohibit virtually all uses in our federal lands, and there are others who want to see all kinds of multiple uses in our federal lands, and there are others who want to see some kind of in between. But Greg, your feedback is noted, and we are continuing to hear from other Montanans on that issue. And I think it's important, Greg, that keep your voice heard on this, because there oftentimes what I find is there's some groups that are kind of the paid lobby groups that that get professionally paid to be a loud voice in some of these debates. It's important that, you know, everyday hardworking Montanans have their voice heard. And that's one of the reasons we're having this call tonight, is to get directly to the people of Montana and to hear what's on their minds, Greg. So thanks for your input there, and it's noted. All right, we got Cal on the line. Cal, you there?
I'm here.
Cal, where are you calling from?
I'm from Anaconda.
Anaconda. Good to have you on the phone tonight, Cal.
Thank you. The reason I'm jumping on here is that we've got all this timber that's dead out there right now. It can't be used in the sawmills anymore. What are we going to do with it all? I know they talked about burning it, using it for energy, but what do we do with it all? And this thing has taken so long to get anything done with it that all that timber that was really good to be used for sawmills is no longer good for sawmills. All it is burning wood. So what do we do with it all?
Yeah. Gal, I'd be happy to take any ideas you've got on that as well. I know one thing we need to do is beetle kill and infestation of insects is part of the life cycle and ecosystem of the forest. But it can be managed much more effectively by allowing us to harvest the timber. And we've got usually a couple-year window from the time the tree dies until it's still salvageable for structural lumber. But then when you get beyond that point, what we have is really one great big wood pile here that risks catastrophic wildfire. And this is, I think, one of the great concerns we have is this these combustible fuels out there, these piles and piles of dead timber, are just waiting for a lightning strike or perhaps a careless campfire that could ignite a forest, and we now have a catastrophic wildfire on our hands that will cost the taxpayer millions of dollars in fire suppression. It's an environmental disaster as it relates to the amount of CO2 and mercury and so forth released in the atmosphere, what it does in the smoke inhaling it in our lungs, what it does to the watersheds because of the erosion and so forth. And it's really outrageous. And so I don't have a good answer right now on what we do with the standing dead timber that's no longer salvageable. I'm open to ideas that folks might have on that. But the regulations and the lawsuits and the restrictions don't allow us to take care of that. And the best thing we can do is harvest it when it's still viable, typically a couple years after it dies. But this is why we have to reform the systems here in our country, reform the environmental review process, reform the litigation process and the Equal Access to Justice Act, and to get our timber industry back on its feet, because at the end of the day, a managed forest is a healthier forest, and that brings back the prosperity of the jobs, the tax revenues for our rural forested counties, which right now are hurting. We've got Montanans that are having to leave the state and have left the state because they've lost the timber industry. So I'm getting the cue here. We need to wrap up.
Yes, unfortunately, we are all out of time for this evening. We had thousands of you joining us tonight, so thank you for listening for the last 50 minutes or so and participating in tonight's call. We apologize that we weren't able to get to everyone's comments and questions this evening, but if you please stay on the line, you'll have an opportunity to leave a voice message with our office and for Senator Daines after this call wraps up. please leave us your thoughts, your comments, your questions, and your name and contact information. And we are going to take note of everyone's comments as we move forward toward comprehensive forest management reform. We'll turn it back over to Senator Daines for some final remarks. But thank you again, everyone, for participating tonight. And please stay on the line to leave your comments with our office.
Well, thanks to everybody who joined the call tonight, and thank you for the thoughtful comments. I recognize that as Montanans, we don't always agree on everything, and there are diverse opinions here, and I appreciate all those who contributed on the call tonight, and we will take the feedback afterwards as well from others who didn't get their question or their thought registered. Please continue to phone, email, write our office. We have offices across Montana. You can go to Daines. I'll give you the website here, www.daines.senate.gov, and you can register thoughts there. We are here to serve. As many of you know, my background was not in politics. I was in business for 28 years, and then I was elected to Congress 2 years ago, and now the United States Senate. And it's an honor to serve you all. I believe that you all are my bosses, and the government is here to serve you and not the other way around. So thank you for being on the call tonight. Have a great evening and look forward to chatting more down the road. Take care.